You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. And it starts right now.
Hello and welcome to The Kylo Show. Thanks for joining us. We are excited to be talking about singles still.
Yes, we are.
But we don't have any singles with us today.
Nope.
We have an amazing married couple.
Yes.
Cole and Caitlin Zick that are here with Moral Revolution.
Yes.
And they have a lot of experience helping out those singles, don't you guys?
Yes, we do. Yeah, we do a lot of single slaying.
There we go.
Slaying the single life is what we like to help people do.
Awesome. moving these singles right along. Mm-hmm. We have a slogan, whole healthy families are going to save the world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and we really do believe that whole healthy individuals is where it starts. Mm-hmm. And we, not only have we watched you do it, but we've also helped participate in some of the things that mm-hmm. you guys are doing. So, you know, in many ways we've partnered in helping singles and helping individuals get healthy, as well as couples and parents and all the other groups that are out there. But currently we are really just trying to focus in on single life, the uniqueness of being single in and the uniqueness of this generation of being single. Cause yeah. I mean, I was single for a while and it was rough, but it wasn't like technology rough and you know, the levels of contention against morality and you know, that kind of stuff. It's a, you know, I mean, I don't know if anybody can see in the background there, it says moral on your wall there, moral revolution. I thought I'd spell it out because it took me a while to go, what's that R for? Oh, wait a minute, that spells something. Moral yeah. revolution, friends, mm-hmm. and all that we've been doing to help folks get well and get ready.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, for those that don't know about Moral Revolution, could you tell us a little bit about it so they have a understanding of yeah. your greatness?
Yeah, definitely. Well, it was started actually by Chris Ballatin, the greatness himself, in 2009.
We only say that when he's not in the room. We would never make that statement if he was around.
He actually wrote the book Sexual Revolution, and then they changed the title to Moral Revolution. But after he wrote the book, realized it's definitely more than just a message. It's a movement needed on the earth. And so we now exist, we say, to tell the world a better story about sex. We know that culture in the world often perverts it. The church has been famous for silencing it or shaming it, but we believe the kingdom of God celebrates it. So how do we tell the world a better story of celebrating God's design for sex? And so we do have resources from everybody from singles to parents to marrieds, Instagram. But since this is the single show, and what Danny was referring to that we've partnered with in is our Date Well, which is basically saying, yeah, what is a path to wholeness and dating? And Danny has contributed so much of that. And it's some of I'm on the women's side. We have men's and women's side. The women's side loves his, you know, how to have authentic and healthy relationships is one of the core teachings that we have in the beginning of that. So, yep, we love serving singles.
We do. And we talk about sex in lots of ways. We will answer. We're famous. This is what we say. Careful what questions you ask because we will answer them. So make sure you want that answer regardless. Parenting, marriage, doesn't matter.
It's true. Careful little question what you ask.
That's yes. right.
I'm the same way. Careful what question you ask because I will probably tell you exactly what I think about it. We're doing a young marriage group and one of the longest conversations we had was about sex, and we got home and I'm like, well, that was a great conversation. And we talked about it for like Q&A for over an hour. And our oldest, who's 17, she says, isn't a young marriage group? I said, yeah. She goes, shouldn't they not have a whole lot of questions about sex? I'm like, you would think, but no, yeah. they need a lot of help.
Yeah. We joke.
Why isn't this working?
Yeah, totally. We joke with people. We're like, how long have you been married? 2 years. Oh, so you're not having good sex yet. That'll come.
Yeah.
Don't worry. That'll happen.
All right. Be patient. Only 2 years in. Wow.
You're cute.
Yeah. Totally. Look at you go. hey, when we talk about singles and you look around Datewell and the various responses that you have, what would you say are maybe the top three issues that keep coming up?
Want me to go first?
You go first.
I would say the top one, and you know, there's probably a there's a second and a third. Kate will jump into that, but you know, to me, far and above is this confusion and lack of identity that because of social media, and forget about the messaging even. Like you don't even have to get to the messages that are communicated on social media. The very nature of social media causing people to learn to be identified and valued and find their worth in other people's opinions of parts of their life, right? You post on an event that you had and, you know, something that you did on a Friday night, and then Saturday morning you're looking for everybody's approval of your pictures that you posted, right? Like, and this is now we're at the spot where our young adults are 18, 19, 20, 21 through 25 year olds have had social media accounts since they were in middle school. So, you know, our next generation right now, even of our young adults, have been trained in people pleasing. They've been trained in getting approval from other humans. They've been trained in caring what strangers think about their lifestyle.
I think the Bible calls this the fear of man.
Yeah. And think about a generation being trained on needing approval from strangers mm-hmm. to feel validated. Mm-hmm. Well, now you get into dating and singleness and how do I have a healthy relationship? I mean, we have young adults that are doing everything that everyone else wants and nothing that they want. And then mm-hmm. trying to build a healthy dating life that will ultimately build a health, you know, try to build a healthy marriage, obviously won't, but to prepare for marriage. And so I think that's the thing is it shocks me how, you know, and I don't even know the right word. There probably needs to be another word. Maybe you've already defined it, Danny, but it's not even like an insecurity or a low self-esteemness like it has always been, because the secure people seem to still want everybody else's approval now. It almost needs a new name because it's so dependent on that. And I would say they're not secure, but I just in the it's taking on a completely new form where we're not just like, I feel like when I was in high school, you could tell, oh, the confident ones, the insecure ones, people wore their insecurity on their sleeves a lot of times. But now even the people that seem to know who they are still care drastically. And so to me, the number one thing right now is just people don't know who they are. There's such a lack of identity because we're being trained to seek out the opinions of strangers to validate our life. And it's super scary and dangerous for healthy relationships. There's my thing.
I think the second one that I would name then is just on the women's side as well. So as part of Datewell, we have monthly live calls and, you know, constantly talking in the community is I think women just feel like, where are the good guys? Like they just feel like, and you can look statistically in a lot of churches and communities, you know, it's like the statistics seem to have like more females than males present in a lot of their scenarios. And so they're just feeling hopeless. Lots of women that they're like, I don't even know where to start, and just feeling very stuck and trapped. And so I think that's one of the biggest things that we're constantly trying to encourage and talk around. And then the third one, again, on the woman's side would be the idea of being ghosted. I think the heartache of just putting themselves out there, starting, you know, some type of communication or relationship, and then just the idea of ghosting, obviously, again, before technology, you couldn't ghost the person. You'd run into them all the time. But when it is an online or, you know, in a bigger setting, then they just are like, you never talk to that person again. And you're like, what? I thought we had something special. And now I can't even find them.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's such a different world that we live in.
It's true.
It is an interesting thought that, you know, an entire generation is trained in the fear of man like no other generation. And then the isolation feels more, you know, we have more access to more people more often, and people feel more isolated. Mm-hmm. Yep. Like, that's.
It feels like the quality of being known is the measurement of that has diminished. Yep. Wow. And so we feel known by how many likes we get or how many followers we have, but really our who actually knows us. So I think that's what highlights the level of feeling alone is because there's nobody no really depth to this digital world of community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, so we could be large influencers and, you know, meet up with somebody in some exotic location and take a bunch of photos, but I'm not going to share with you that I'm suicidal because I'm lonely.
Yeah.
Or that, you know, that I just had this breakup because I can't cry because I got to be all pretty for my photos or whatever. So I think that there is this, a new fear of man and this loneliness because it's like a generation has forgotten how to be real friends.
Yeah, absolutely. And that lack of ability to have deep relationships. I mean, you guys know it's what you guys have forged for 25 years is depth, connection, intimacy, being known. Now we're seeing the results of it in, you know, the dating world where people don't know how to let themselves be known.
Yeah.
Like they don't know how to do that. And so then they get into relationships and they go too heavy, too quick. They don't honor the intimacy ladder. They go super intimate without a lot of trust because they're almost like they're reaching for ways to get connected because they don't know how to actually build connection. Mm-hmm. And so it's this stab in the dark almost of, oh, this will connect us. This will make us feel closer. Let's go on a weekend trip together a month into a relationship and be in a hotel together and do this because that'll make us feel connected. Well, it's this, you know, really now we're just trying to find an answer for what our heart's longing for because we haven't practiced connection. We've practiced opinion. And that's what's really hurting a lot of relationships.
Yeah.
So what would you guys say is your primary message to singles? How do you feel like you're being effective?
Yeah, really, one of the things we teach a lot is the intimacy ladder. Are you familiar with that? I think
maybe a different name, but
the intention.
Why don't you break it down for us?
Yeah,
come on, break it down, Cole.
The intentionality of putting thought into how you're building a relationship, right? One of the things that we do that we try to help, you know, young adults really coach them on is this idea that organic and unplanned and spontaneous is super fun. And that's what's demonstrated in the movies, right? Like this, we just met at coffee and then we spent the whole day together and we threw off work and we didn't go to class the next day and, you know, just fell in this love romance story.
Ended up in Venice.
Yeah, on a boat in the middle of the Mediterranean somehow.
With a helicopter somehow.
Yeah.
Yes.
No yacht.
Is creating, you know, that picture creates, number one, not just an unhealthy expectation, but it actually creates a really bad plan for building a healthy relationship as well. Yeah. So not only did we just get an unhealthy expectation, we just got a really poor roadmap. And so the intimacy ladder helps young adults realize, okay, there can be intentionality to this and it doesn't take away from the excitement of building a relationship. It actually provides safety and clarity. And so what we try to encourage people to do is step number one to this is understanding if you do nothing else, make sure that intimacy doesn't outpace trust. Make sure that you're building trust quicker than you're building intimacy, which is just that step alone to cause people to slow down is huge because a lot of us jump in wholeheartedly to intimacy before we've ever evaluated trust, right?
What's a step to trust?
So steps to trust are getting to know the person, watching the character. Like how do they treat the friends? What are the relationships with their platonic friendships like? How do, you know, are in group settings, are they the person that's pretty regularly always needing to rip on somebody and make somebody the butt of a joke to be funny? It just be a small example of something, right? Is the way that they're joking crass or coarse, you know, not that means they're not a great person, but you're watching for those types of things. Well, if the person that I'm looking to date or to be close with is regularly using other people to elevate their position or their status in a group. That could be an indicator that they might do that same thing with me. Maybe I'm not at the point to be ready to share my heart with them, share my past with them, share the things that have made me who we are from a relational, emotional, intimate level. Then obviously you talk sexually. A lot of times in relationships, we're jumping really intimate really quick. And that person, if they're not a trustworthy person, then we've now given them a part of who we are physically and emotionally. And we've really cast those pearls before swine in that sense. And we're allowing them into a part of our life that they're not ready for. And so, encouraging people to be regularly evaluating your heart. When you get done with a date, when you've spent time with that person, come back and even journal about where your trust level is with them. I saw this tonight when they talked to their mother. I saw this tonight when they interacted with their dad. I saw this tonight when they interacted with their pastor. Their pastor gave them, our youth pastor or our young adult pastor gave us this instruction, and we walked away, and immediately in the car they said, oh, we don't really have to do that. There's a really good indicator that tells you how much you can trust that person with correction. Are they correctable? Are they teachable? And so, looking for these little indicators early on that teach you where their heart is at and how they're engaging with other humans. Because actually teaches you a lot.
So how many steps are in this ladder?
It's 14.
Well.
14. We're on number two.
Yeah. Well, and I would say it's not necessarily even a totally, it's not necessarily even quantifiable. There's steps. I think if you go number one and say, I'm going to make sure that intimacy never outpaces trust, then I now have changed the goal of this relationship. Right? I've made sure that the goal is trust building, not getting as intimate as quick as possible. Once it's trust building, now you can build a marriage on a dating relationship that was built on trust building. Intimacy is not the crux of relationship. People, young adults think, oh, get as intimate as quick as possible to feel as close as we can. Well, the problem with that is you're pursuing something that doesn't have safety with it. When trust becomes the goal, now I can do that. And then each step in the ladder, I start to, okay, step number one, do I know me? Step number two, are they safe? Step number three, can we have fun together? When trust is the goal, these questions start to make a lot more sense. And so, we have 14 things we've defined that we will walk through and we will teach through. Not that each one is a make it or a break it or a pillar, but they're just really good questions and steps to ask along the way.
It sounds like authenticity in this generation is really important. I mean, it's very loud, and I want to be authentic. I want to be authentic to myself. And so what I've seen is in their pursuit to be authentic, they are overly vulnerable, or they allow intimacy too quickly because they think they're being authentic. What would you say to that? Because that's one thing that I've seen happen is someone's desire to be authentic just means that I am completely transparent and I tell you everything in the name of authenticity, which is this very big word that seems to be really important to this next generation.
Yeah, I think, sorry to keep talking. You gave me the nod.
You're good.
One of the things I find with people, and I see it as a parent, you get to see it really exaggerated with younger kids that haven't been parented with emotional and mental, what I would say, emotional and mental self-control. And so learning to understand that the feeling I have right now in response to a situation is actually not the defining feeling of my entire life, right? And so we have one son, one kid, who just is passion on his sleeve. If the moment that he's in is painful, he has the worst life of any kid on the planet. And when he gets done winning a baseball game,
best weekend
of my life. He lives life in these big, powerful extremes. Yeah, right. And so, as his parents, our goal is to help him realize, hey, feel the pain in the moment, But don't let the pain of this situation cause you to label your entire life with this pain. And don't let the win and the feeling of winning a baseball game make you feel so valued. You now have identity because you won a baseball game. No, even this win doesn't define your whole life. It just gives you clarity and helps you understand this moment. And so with an 11-year-old, it's easy for all of us to look and say, oh, yeah, we can look at it through the eyes. That 11-year-old, what does that 11-year-old need? He needs fathered and he needs mothered. Well, now you see it in 22-year-olds because they weren't taught to have mental and emotional self-control. Because we were, be real, I just say what I think because what I think is what I feel and I don't want to be fake. Well, what you needed to do is even before you posted, before you said it, slow down and realize, I'm hurting right now. Before I'm ready to tell the entire world that, it's really authentic to go share that with a trusted loved one who knows the Lord, who's biblically grounded, that can help walk through my situation right now before I let the whole world into the moment that I'm in. And then I get to bring in this wise counsel. We process this. We work through this. And by the time I'm letting the whole world into it, I've actually made some headway in being healthy in responding to this situation. And I now get to speak to it from a victor, not somebody who's in the moment. And I have a much healthier, level-headed, more sober response to it. I still get to be authentic. I'm just not allowing everybody into the room while I'm vomiting. Mm-hmm. I'm letting them know, hey, I vomited last night. Not, hey, everybody come look at my throw-up session. Isn't it wonderful?
Yeah, this goes across the board, not just singles.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and take a short break and hear from our good friend Charles about some really great resources.
As a business leader, what if you're doing people development all wrong? See, great leaders know the importance of investing in the human side of their business, but many either don't know where to start or they use traditional approaches that don't really work. Old training approaches like buying everyone a leadership book, bringing in a speaker, or doing a once-a-year offsite might feel good in the moment, but are often a waste of time and money. And that's because when people get back to work, they just slip into their old habits again. You see, personal growth, it doesn't happen all at once, it happens over time. That's why the new way to develop your people, strengthen your teams, and invest in your culture is to create an ongoing people development system, not a one-time event. But how? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I've got a free gift for business leaders that's gonna help. I'm Charles Cowan, founder of the people development company, GrowthStream. And we've discovered a simple but powerful four-step system that makes development easy. And we're giving away our secrets in a free training video. In this training, you'll learn how to develop your people in less than 1 hour per month using our simple four-step system. Plus, you'll learn how to do it yourself if you have time or outsource it if you're busy. So if you're a business owner, HR manager, or leader and want to learn about the new way to develop your people, strengthen your teams, and invest in your culture, then go to growthstreamtraining.com to see the video before it's gone. Again, that's growthstreamtraining.com.
One of the questions that we've been asking in this series is, it's kind of the commitment level that singles run into if they truly are willing to give up their freedom or not to have high levels of commitment and intimacy. Because sometimes singles love the freedom of I get to do whatever I want, my own schedule. And some of them their identity is I got to be married. What do you run into that is more common? The commitment levels are low because not sure if I want to give away this freedom, or marriage is my identity and I am nothing unless that happens.
Yeah. So I think the second one you said, I think the side we see there is that idea of like, I'm almost waiting to live my life until I'm married, because it's such a goal that I'm so stuck that I haven't made any big decisions. I haven't bought the house. I haven't said yes to that move because I'm just like waiting to get married to become. And one of the guests and contributors we have in Date Well, her name's Esther Marie. She wrote a book called Single Shouldn't Suck. And what's so cool about it is it was actually just her journal pages of this long single season where she just realized and the Lord showed her, like, stop waiting to live your life. Like, what does it look like to have the adventures, to build the relationships, to, you know, live your life, not waiting, but actually pursuing what does God have for you and hoping you'd find the right person along the way. So that part of it we see a lot. And I think just the scripture that always comes to mind is 1 Corinthians 7:17, but it's in the Message paraphrase. It says, and don't be wishing you were someplace else or with someone else. Where you are right now is God's place for you. Live and obey and love and believe right there, because God, not your marital status, defines your life. And so I'd say that's one of the biggest things we encourage, especially for me with the women, of just that waiting to find somebody to let them live their life, of just saying, okay, where does God have you right now? It's kind of just that bloom where you're planted. Like, where can you put your seeds in? Where can you, you know, grow roots and just see what the Lord does in your life?
Yeah.
But that fear too of losing freedom. Also, I can think of many women we work with that they're like, you know, they're in their 20, they're 28, they're 29, they're having lots of fun and freedom. And the idea of somebody who's going to come steal some of that or take that away, or they feel like they're going to lose themselves. Like, they've worked really hard maybe to become their best version of themselves. And they're like, I don't know if I want something to change this. And so there's a lot of fear around that we've seen as well.
Well, and I would say, you know, the person that feels like, it, you know, that's single and just, I got to get married. The chances of making a very poor lifelong decision are very high when you feel this, I have
urgency.
Yeah.
Right.
Desperation.
Yeah. You end up like, oh no, I just picked the wrong person and now I'm stuck in covenant. This is going to be a long life or a painful one. We're going to have lots of divorcing and whatever this, you know.
Totally.
And so I think for the person that feels that, I would just encourage you with this is, like, lean in. And you go back all the way to the first thing I said, figure out your identity right now and who God has you to be as an individual. And remember, two half people do not make a whole. It does not work like math, you know.
Two incomplete people.
Yeah, two incomplete people don't make a very good one flesh. And so your goal right now is become a really good, full, healthy, whole individual.
Yeah.
And if that becomes the goal, you're going to find all of a sudden you're going to get hit upside the head some Saturday morning at the coffee shop when you weren't looking for the right one. And now, because you're so confident in who you are and who he's made you, this actually could be a very good, healthy, powerful relationship. And so, and then, you know, remind me of the other statement you said at the end, because it sparked something in me.
Like losing their freedom?
Yeah, losing their freedom. It's totally true. I have no freedom anymore whatsoever.
I'm sure the trade-up was not worth it, too. We don't feel bad for you at all.
That's true. I know. It's funny because I spent like 1 year living in a condo on my own in Florida. And I remember as we started having kids, I looked back and thought that was the best living situation of my entire life. You know, like when it was intense and the kids just are, you know, your low moments.
I wonder where your son gets all that.
I know. Exactly. The extremism. Totally. No, I know where he gets it. So much like me. It's wild.
Many moments I say, we're reaping what you sowed. You go take care of that one.
Yeah. Your son is calling you.
It's true. It's so wonderful. God gives you a tiny version of yourself. Thank you, Lord.
So humbling.
But, you know, I would say in that, you know, I have a close friend from high school. We're still really close. He's now, you know, I'm 39, you know, almost 40. And so he's lived 20 years in that freedom. You know, that space that if you're 22 can feel like, I want this forever. And most of our deep conversations are centered around, I wish I wouldn't have fought so hard for freedom in my 20s, because I feel like I'm missing out on such a powerful part of life. He'll spend a weekend with us and he'll spend most of the weekend, just so many different moments where he's just got tears running down his face as he's watching us with the kids. And my daughter, you know, calls him uncle and climbs up on his lap to give him a hug before she goes to bed. And he's like, I don't have this. And I gave this away because I wanted freedom so badly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I just encourage those that hear that, you know, that are in that space, you know, you look, try to look down the road to 40. What are you going to want at that point? What are you going to want at 35? What are you going to want at 50? Whatever that age is that's in the future, you know, away from where you're at right now. You don't want to make such big, drastic, lifelong decisions, comments, or commitments that you're going to have pain in a different season of life where you could be preparing for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is amazing the emphasis on comfort and control that is going out over the sound waves and the, you know, the media waves these days, that you are the comforter of yourself and you are the master of your own universe.
Yeah.
Unless you have a spouse and children. And then you're a slave to this life that is filled with responsibility, pressure, crisis. And I think, you know, Jesus calls that abundant life. You know, when your life is full of depth and maturity and covenant and devotion and service to others, there is a fullness to your life that you can never get as an individual person.
Absolutely.
And so the thing that's really waiting for you through all of that exertion and all of that investment is kind of like what you would look at, a bodybuilder or, you know, maybe somebody who won the Super Bowl or a gold medal in the Olympics. You'd say, oh, well, of course, anything worth having, it requires your best. It requires you, the best you got. And I think that missing out on that in exchange for being in control and comfortable is, in many ways, is a deception. Mm-hmm. You know, and people are actually going to get through to being an older person by themselves, looking back, thinking, I'm not sure that was the best trade.
Yeah,
it's a bad deal. And it's true. I mean, when I look, you know, Kate and I have been married for 17 years. We've got 4 kids. Our life's full, crazy, chaotic, and nuts. There's no other way around it. We have 2 kids doing travel baseball. All our kids are in sports. So we don't have we have every night and, you know, almost every last 2 weekends we've been at different cities with sports. And we look at it, we're like, we're so full. We're so blessed. This is how it was worth every single freedom sacrifice we ever had to make was worth all of it, you know, and then to watching your kids thrive at something. You know, we had this weekend where we had this baseball tournament and, you know, one of my sons was just, he was doing really well and he was playing really well and he was leading really well. And I was there with, you know, an old youth kid that used to be in our youth group and he came and watched and we were talking and I said to him, I go, you know, it's crazy being a parent. There's not one single accomplishment I've ever had in my life that feels as good as watching him accomplish something.
Mm. Yeah.
Like there's nothing. Like I can't think of a single thing I've done that I would rather do. If I had to pick him succeed at this, what he loves, or me, I would pick him every time. And that is such it's a crazy revelation to come to. Mm-hmm. And man, I'm so glad I didn't fight so hard for freedom and control in my younger years, because I would never get to enjoy these moments I have now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask Kate a question. Kate, where are all the good guys?
The good question.
At BSSM.
Yeah.
Lenny's going there next year, so let's just pace exciting. Yourself. I'm not sure if we're ready for that one.
You're like,
she'll be the girl with the bag over her head. So
have to tell her to, you know, start praying that she feels like a covenant to fasting dating for a year or something.
Yeah.
That's a good question. And what's funny is I think my first thought is not necessarily a happy one, but it's something, it reminds me of something Chris Ballatin always talks about, is how, you know, the sex drive we were given, you know, is supposed to drive us to looking for that person. And mm-hmm. how I think because people are getting all of their sexual needs met without a human, they're bonded to screens, porn, casual mm-hmm. sex, hookup culture, then that drive to find their person has dissipated. If not, if anything, it's so much harder. So they're like just stuck mm-hmm. in this, you know, really broken, deceived way of getting their sexual needs met and not having that drive to actually find love. I think there's, we know and are so aware of just the lack, or I guess the label of toxic masculinity that has then mm-hmm. robbed us of the good godly masculinity. And so I just, when I look, it does feel a little bleak sometimes, honestly. That's probably not the happy answer, but it feels a little bleak sometimes because I'm like, yeah, I'm seeing all these women that we're meeting with and, you know, they're like, yeah, I can't find anybody. I'm like, you know, we do obviously have success stories of them finding a godly man, but I just think there's a lack of what it talks about in Titus, the book of Titus, where it's the old men are supposed to lead the younger men, the older women leading the younger women. I desire to see that just beauty of mentorship, of apprenticeship mm-hmm. that I think we've lost in our generation. I think our generation specifically is more like, I'm going to do it my way. I'll figure it out. I'll YouTube it to figure it out. We've lost that connection of somebody showing us the way, of men showing boys how to become a man, how to pursue a woman, how to value a real relationship and work ethic and just all of that. And I think, but the same for women. I think a lot of us young girls, we've lost that connection with older women and that value of then growing and becoming somebody who's ready to find their person.
I have a more hopeful answer though for you.
There you go. Good. I'm glad to have
course,
it.
Of course you do.
Yeah. Granted, I've never had to find a man for myself. So, well, you know,
and with date well men, like you're in the men's world. I'm like, I don't know. I'm over here with the women who are sad.
Well, and
Cole, how many men in the date well men want to be married?
I would say almost all of them. I think that's probably why they are in it. You know, we've got, you know, we just launched the Date Well Men actually just recently. We've got over 100 guys that have made this 12 week commitment and, you know, have sacrificed finances, time. So, and, you know, I also get to work with Jason Valadin. He's, you know, the men's pastor up here at Bethel and with Brave Co. And I get to go to a lot of men's conferences. You know, I would tell you, I'm actually hopeful. I see a lot of times at these men's events, we do see a lot of the younger generation engaging. We see 20s and 30s. You know, men's conferences are booming right now, honestly. So, like,
right. Now, I think, you know, I'm not trying to cut you off here, but I am trying to say that, okay, Caitlin, you got a pile of ladies that want to be married. Mm-hmm. And then Cole, you're going to have a pile of guys that want a wife. Like, okay, what is the deal? Because this is my experience. My experience is I can walk through the group of young men that I think are just stellar. And they say the same thing. Well, I can't find any girls. I just can't find one. You know, like, there's one. There's one right there.
Right there.
Why don't you just go grab that one right there? Okay. Oh, look, there's another one next to him. You know, hey, there's 50. There's 50 of them.
Look, it's right there.
Just shoot in the flock. Yeah.
Yeah. So here's my personal belief. Here we go. You ready for the soapbox?
Oh, gosh.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, gosh.
He's taking a stance on the table.
Caitlin just said, oh, gosh.
I'm rising up. Here we go.
Not another soapbox.
I think that they're so confused on what they're looking for, they can't see what's in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
This is true about hunting, right? When you come up on a covey of quail and 30 of them fly out, you can't just start shooting. You have to look at one. And it's the hardest thing to do.
Exactly. And so I have, in my experience, I'll like throw an idea out for somebody, for a guy, to a girl. Oh, no. And this is, I'm going to get really specific here. I'm not trying to overly stereotype. So if it doesn't apply to you.
Don't use any names.
I won't use any names. But if this doesn't apply to you, then, you know, I'm not talking about you. But it's interesting to me because of, again, back, not to beat this dead horse of social media so much, but because so much of life is lived there. the type of man that a lot of girls are looking for is not necessarily the type of man you want to marry. Mm-hmm. Because you've been social conditioned for your preferences on social media. So oftentimes I find it's more attached to looks, clothing, style, coffee taste. Are they a coffee connoisseur? Are they a vibe? Are they a foodie? Mm-hmm. Well, that might, all those aren't bad. But if you're looking for somebody with all of those things, I'm not sure that's the guy you want to covenant to. Not if those are the only things that matter, right? And so I think a lot of times we're right now, I'll present a guy that is maybe not as social media savvy, but here's a crazy thought. He knows how to fix a car. So because he knows how to fix a car, he's got some stains on his shirt and he's willing to go out in public with some paint on his pants. It's not the guy for me. He doesn't care quite enough about wearing skinny jeans and, you know, XYZ. You know, and I don't like the language of lower your expectations because I don't think it's that. I think you have to change what you're looking for as the criteria because we're so conditioned with social media, what a lot of us have been told is the person we're looking for isn't actually what makes a great husband or what makes a great wife. Now, those aren't necessarily even bad things, and that's what makes it so challenging is we're not talking negative things. We're just talking things that by themselves don't necessarily determine or indicate great husband material, great wife material. So we can look and see the 30 quail that jump up and we're like, oh man, I don't know which one to look for.
What one goes in my apartment decor?
Right. Which one can I take really good pictures with so that our wedding pictures just look awesome? Well, there's a lot more than your wedding pictures to this marriage thing, folks.
Yeah. Do you want eye candy or do you want a real spouse?
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Kaylin got eye candy and a real spouse. She's just stole.
Kick the soapbox. Please kick that soapbox.
I think it's figuring out what your standards are, like what your core values are, what actually matters versus preferences. Because I think, you know, a lot of girls as young girls were told, like, write a list of what you want and then, you know, ask Jesus to give you exactly that. And they're, you know, the tall, dark, handsome or something rather than, yeah, a man of integrity and character and hard work. And he's, you know, super devoted. They're not looking to those things. So realizing and redoing your list on what are some standards and core values of we're going the same direction in life and their character versus what are some preferences? Like, yeah, I hope he enjoys this with me as well.
Well, and then actually implement your core values into your heart. You have to start using them to make decisions. Because a lot of times, even if we have a list of core values, we still use our preferences to make our decisions. We actually have to implement those core values and say, okay, here's the things that matter. I'm actually going to use this to determine relationship.
So did we answer that question? Like, what is keeping these two groups of that both want the same thing apart?
Unhealthy expectations, not too high, but creating the wrong things to determine what makes a good partner is what my personal thoughts on that in this generation right now.
I think part of, you know, the courage, I see what you're saying, Cole and Caitlin, I did that. I wrote down all of my dream list of what my husband would be. I didn't include that he'd have out of fashion clothing and went to clown camp in junior high. I didn't have those on my list, but that was on there that been accomplished. But I think that it feels good to have a high standard to say, absolutely, I want these things, but it requires me to be a powerful person and personal responsibility to look past the paint stain and look past the trendy coffee shop and say, does that man actually have that? Mm-hmm. But it's my ability to be mature enough to actually look for the things that I say are in my heart that I desire.
Yes.
Sherry always says that she married me for my potential.
There's that joke that says at the gas station, you know, there's a lady with her husband that's a governor and pulls up.
The governor pulls up in the gas station with his wife and they see a man she dated at one point in her life and he's now pumping gas. And he says, see, honey, if you'd ended up with him, you'd own a gas station. She says, nope, if I ended up with him, he'd be governor.
That's the best.
That's a totally true as well.
Yeah.
So I think part of this is each men and women actually honoring and having the maturity to follow through with, this is what I said is in my heart that I believe God's called me to have. Am I willing to take the risk on what doesn't fit in my social media mold?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you know, Danny, what you said is totally right. You know, or what you said, Sherry says. That's why Caitlin married me too, was my potential. You know, I tell young adults all the time, you're actually not looking for the perfect person. You're looking for somebody that loves the Lord, that's teachable, and you watch them be accountable. Because if they're those three things, you're going to be able to grow together. If they're teachable and you've watched them be accountable well and they love the Lord, you got neither of you are who you're going to be in 10 years. Like, we're so different from when we got married.
Yeah.
Totally.
We've grown together because we love the Lord, because we've tried to keep our heart teachable, and we've tried to remain accountable to the people in our life. Those are probably the three most critical things you're looking for. Mm-hmm. And then, okay, coffee stain on my white t-shirt, I can handle that because of these three other things.
Yeah. Well, it's Ben and I joke around and say that we've had multiple marriages in our 20 years.
Totally.
But to the same person.
Yep.
You know, we have grown so much from getting married at 18 and 19, and we are absolutely not the same people, but our willingness to grow together. So you have to be willing to grow with this person, and so finding someone that wants that. But
good conversation.
It was. We could keep going.
We could just keep going.
Keep going.
I looked down at the timer.
It's gone. It's been zero for I don't know how long.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, well. That's why we have a series for that.
Yeah.
There we go.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much. Yeah. Where can people go if they want to learn more about Date Well? I love this resource. Where could they go to find that?
Let'sdatewell.com. Pretty easy to remember. Let'sdatewell.com. Both programs for men and women can be found there.
Okay. Let'sdatewell.com. That's
fantastic.
That's a great slogan.
Thanks for having us, guys. It's fun.
Yeah. And all the other Moral Revolution
goodies.
Resources.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Moralrevolution.com. It's all there.
There we go.
Great. Well, thank you so much again for joining us, and thank you everyone for listening to The Kylo Show. We will see you next week.
Thanks for listening. Never miss an episode of The Kylo Show by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. Don't forget to submit your questions and testimonies to thekyloshow.com. The Kylo Show is produced by Allie Armerding, co-produced by Ashley Beck and Anna Hill, sound engineer and edited by Taylor Silk, and show promoter Christian Zamora. Don't forget, whole healthy families, gonna save the world.